Thanks.
Do we have a quorum?
Yes. There's your opening script over there.
Okay. Well, we'd like to call the Lane County Animal Services Advisory Committee meeting to order for Monday, February 10th, 2020. And Betty, would you do a roll call?
And also, you have no one signed up for public comment, so I'll start around this room, and if you just...
Well, I think we know who's here. Do you want to just announce?
Yes, verbalize it.
Yeah, I'd like you to verbalize it for the recording.
Well, each one speak your name.
David Caldwell.
Dave Hancock.
Bernadette DiPiero.
Scott Bartlett.
Katie James. I know, I was sitting...
You're sitting over there. It's okay.
I'm always an outsider.
That's all right. Sorry I didn't see you. Well, welcome to the public. Have any of you come up with anything that you'd like to say since you walked in or before? Is there anything that's on your mind or you'd like to share with us? Any concerns? Okay. Then are there any changes or additions to the agenda of any kind? Okay, the audio minutes, which are there to be heard. Does anyone care to approve them?
I've not listened to them.
No, I understand.
I have talked to legal counsel, and they are of the opinion that it is at the board's discretion whether or not they want to approve the audio minutes. So the board decides they would like to not have that as an agenda item each and every time, we don't have to have it on there, and you don't have to approve the audio minutes.
Could we request to the board that they reinstate written minutes?
Well, that would be...
Written summaries?
It's so noted, Chair. However, that is inconsistent with Lane County policy for all of the advisory. The true record now is considered an audio record.
Yeah, but that policy is fairly short duration. I mean, that's not the decades that I've been helping the county.
And I get it, but we are...
When was that instituted, do you know?
Yeah, oh, gosh, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, that I'm aware of.
At whose behest was that?
I think it was just, as far as I know, it was a Lane County policy. It was guidelines.
I think we were the last committee to actually have written notes long after everyone else had already gone to them.
Well, maybe we can revisit that since we have a new board. So, all right. Then we'll move on to new and continuing business. Dave, you want to talk about important information updates?
I have nothing on importation this time. Nothing new that we haven't already discussed.
All right. Harriet Smith Trust document. Mike, would that be you or Betty? Who would that be?
The committee had requested seeing the actual document with the Harriet Smith Ruby Trust that established the trust. So I included that as part of your agenda packet. I also sent it to you all electronically if it's easier to read that way. My quick glance at it, it is a trust distribution and trust termination agreement. So I did not see a lot of detail about parameters or criteria or rules around how this committee decides to disperse trust funds. We still have an established process where this committee hears recommendations, and it's up to this committee to make a recommendation to the board, and the board will formally adopt, usually based on your recommendation. But I didn't see anything in the trust document that said it can only be used for
That's what Susan,
things from
well, that's what
first.
Susan, that's what the trustee said.
Yeah, First Avenue Shelter. It can be used for other benefiting projects deemed worthwhile by this committee.
It's been quite a while since we heard from the person that brought this to us, but I wonder if we didn't hear that verbally from her. Because I haven't ever seen this before.
Well,
who was that? Who was that person?
Susan Gilmore?
I don't remember the lady's name that brought it to us.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Well, I think, why don't you read this and study it, and then if you need to talk to her, I mean...
Apparently Dave's scanned it and didn't find anything more than Betty just told us.
From my little knowledge of this, would always supersede anything that comes, somebody comes along and says, hey, I think, or, you know, so-and-so said that.
The trustee told us what the benefactor had in mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that she wanted specifically to go to Lane County Animal Services.
That's what I remember.
And so I think we'll take it upon ourselves to make recommendations as we deem fit or not.
Sure.
Which is what you do now.
Right.
Yeah, we've done that already. Requests can, we'll listen to any request.
You know, it's interesting. I read through this and... ours was $125,000, right? Something like that?
Yeah, begin with, yes.
It's like 100, I think it was 121 was the beginning balance.
This estate is worth 4-point-something million. But when you look at the beneficiaries...
The sum was actually 126, 121.
Right. When you look at the beneficiaries, it's nowhere near there. Did you look at that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you that you yeah. notice that?
Yeah.
Well, she gives a lot to. Well, it. Food for Lane County, Sacred Heart, Elks, Animal Control, Eugene Mission. Really generous stuff. Five people. Oh, well, it's not our... Oh, and then she gives some substantial stuff to a few people. Yeah, okay. All right, well, this is something to study. And how much is left, by the way? Approximately. 80-something thousand?
I think it's more than 90-something.
Did you have a question?
91,239.
How much?
$91,239.97 is what I have.
91,239. Yeah. $97 is all what right. I have.
Jeanetta?
You know, it's interesting. All the others that are listed here are known nonprofits. I don't think a lot of people realize that you can actually contribute or make a donation to the animal control for the county. Mm-hmm. And that might be a good advertising gimmick, so to speak, to get people educated to that point, because other people might want to donate to animal control but don't realize that they can do so because it is a
government.
County agency, right. Tax-funded agency.
Before the county city contract was terminated, the donation revenue was around $100,000, and Mike Wellington had built that up over years. Plus, there were many pro bono or partially pro bono veterinarian agreements. But LCATS would always pay some towards it. But with changes, et cetera, that kind of deteriorated. But about $100,000 is what I was told. So that was a loss, And
I'm assuming that the deductions are non-deductible in taxes. So.
What is?
I'm assuming that someone that contributes to Lane County Animal Control, it's not a deductible.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes.
So it's considered a non-profit?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's even preferable.
Okay.
Right?
My understanding is that it has to be a nonprofit in order for a 501c3 or C6 or in order for it to be deductible on an individual's taxes.
I don't believe that because we asked that whole question.
Really?
And yes. And we asked it, and I think it's akin to that. But Mike, if you wanted to ask county council. Yeah.
That makes sense because we're not a 501(c), but we're a not-for-profit government agency. We don't make profit.
Right, and you can be a not-for-profit, but not necessarily be have tax deductions deductible on your
personal return. I think it's an illusionary purpose and function, which under the federal code, I think, is deductible. But we can ask and satisfy your...
It'd be interesting that, yeah.
I'll do a report back.
Okay. Because we've had that discussion over the years.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean that clarification couldn't be helpful. So, all right, thank you for raising that issue.
Just curious.
No, I understand. Any other questions pertinent to the trust document of any kind? Okay. You know, there is an amount to a Phyllis Brown of almost $2 million. And then another Margaret Lara of almost $1 million. So that must be where it goes. It's pretty good sum of resources. I'm a pretty generous person. Okay, so now we will progress. Lane County Chapter 7.045.
And that is that's what it looks like in our agenda packet. And this is prompted by a request by a citizen, Janet Ayers, who attended the meeting last month. And she had requested of this committee that they look at Lane Code Chapter 7.
Is this the cat lady?
Yes. Okay. I guess you could characterize her as okay. That. But it is Ms. Ayers had asked this committee and... So I said that we would bring this forward and look at it. And I believe that her intent would be to, anytime it would say dog in this impoundment of animals, that it would also encompass cats.
What is her desire?
I believe it's her desire that there would be more enforcement towards cats instead of just dogs in this provision.
She the one that was complaining that cats were helping fertilizer yard?
I believe she has a number of complaints against cats.
Her mother's yard.
Well.
I also think she felt like she was confused as to what the confinement requirement was for her dog.
Correct.
When it was given to her that it wasn't clear what she was supposed to do, and so then she violated it because she didn't feel it was clear.
Did her dog jump out and attack somebody?
So she was walking her dogs on leash. They pulled loose from her and killed some cats.
Wow. Well, that's really unfortunate.
So her dogs had to be confined.
And is it still confined?
Yes, they are. She is under a dangerous dog
dangerous behavior.
Action, and it's gone through the court process, and I still believe it might possibly still be pending.
Wednesday.
So Michael and I really are not at liberty to discuss an active case.
But if that stands, and such a person, not her, was so adjudicated, would they have to be subject to unannounced inspections by Bernie or whatever to see if they're compliant?
We can check on the conditions that the court lays out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the concerns she had was that cats and dogs are looked at differently, and cats can roam and dogs can't. And she felt that the cats being allowed to roam was part of what happened to her, and that we should look at restricting cats free roaming as well. I know other municipalities have done that. It's not a popular thing, but some have done it.
Cats can climb trees and dogs can't. I mean,
yeah, it's a tough. They go over the fence in a flash.
It's a difficult subject, but I think she wants us to look into it and maybe address it with possible changes, or rather, recommendations on changes.
Well.
Am I correct, you think?
Yeah, I believe that's how I took it as well.
Basically, it was her fault. And in terms of the dog getting loose, well, you have to have control of the dog,
the way the code's
or don't
written,
walk
yes.
it.
The way the code's written, yes, it was her fault. But I think she wants to address the cat issue.
Morally, ethically, responsibility-wise, it was her fault. But it's kind of an arcane, complex subject.
It is complex.
And perhaps it requires a lot of reflection over time.
I could, in the future, bring Calgary's cat code, and we could look at that, too, with this, and maybe send it to you so that we can have time to look it over.
Is that the licensing of cats?
Yeah, the licensing, and they require licensing, and they require that they stay on their property, which I think is what she's looking at.
That's, I agree with Dave. That is, I think, where her platform
and
is,
that's,
is licensing of cats and code
and that will
enforcement
result
of cats.
In more euthanasia. And it's an old argument. But Lane County Code chapter pertains to companion animals or all animals?
This is for dogs, isn't it?
For dogs.
This is pretty much about dogs.
Yeah.
Do we have a section in Lane Code pertaining to horses?
Yes, but not in confinement.
Yeah, we cover those also. It's
right.
in
cover all animals.
In another code section?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, for example, that egregious case where they found dead horses and horses' legs coming through upside down in the dirt. As I recall, the articles that I was reading, Bernie was saying that this particular person, when she was inspected, had performed just under the threshold of discipline or regulation. Well, since such sad and horrible consequences ensued, I'm wondering whether we should contemplate recommending to the board elevating somewhat, per Bernie's desire, elevating somewhat incrementally in a reasonable and defensible way the standards with which he could prevent such things from happening.
Would it be appropriate to hear from Bernie to see if he does recommend any change in that respect?
Or what he would have liked to have had so that this isn't on his watch?
The statute reads right now, we can enter a property to inspect the animals. We can't go into a barn. We can't go into any building. So that kind of limited what we could look at. Now, as part of her parole agreement, though, she has to send us pictures every month, and we can go on her property, including in the buildings, at any time unannounced.
Without a warrant.
Without a warrant.
Previous to that,
you didn't have to have a warrant to go in the building. The animal control officers can enter a property without a warrant, but they can't go into the building.
Could you get a without a warrant?
Yeah.
You could get a search warrant, though.
We did. And that, when we actually acted, we did have a search warrant. But we don't need one now because of
how
the
how many horses, all told, is it estimated to have died there?
I think we found four, and then they put three more down after we confiscated them. But I'm not sure that they uncovered all of them that were possibly buried. There could have been more. And it's a 25. Well, first of all, she was. It's also there's 25-acre property, so you're only allowed one horse per acre. So she had, I think there were 69 there total, of which we took off 61. So she had too many animals for the property.
She had 69 horses.
Mm-hmm.
And you took 61 off?
Took 61.
What happened to the other eight? They're still there?
Somebody had just dropped their horses off like the day before to just keep them overnight, and they were going to move them the next day, so they showed up while we were there, and we released four to them. And then the other ones were the Otts, the people that were staying on the property, and there's still an open criminal case against them about those. So right now, and I haven't read her terms of her parole, which we will be getting a copy of, she's allowed to keep 4 horses. But she's not allowed to board.
And she was trying to rescue horses, or?
She would contract with rescues that bought animals from auction, horses at auction, that were going to be slaughtered. And then they were being transported someplace else, but she would keep them in quarantine. Often they would go to California, and she would keep them until they moved to California.
Well, that's not bad. Why did these horses die then? Because apparently they were severely neglected.
Yeah.
I mean, for how many? 6 had to...
We euthanized 3. The rest of them, they've been nursed back to health. There's, I think there was a total of 14 that are going to be placed with fosters or adopted.
I mean, this sounds like a hoarder in a way. In a way, that because you see these hoarding examples where animals...
We have to be careful. We don't know the whole case. We don't know whether she was sick, whether she forgot. If there was a mental issue with forgetting, we don't know if it was illness.
The court must know.
Yeah, the court does. You know, I haven't got a copy of the judgment.
The court does.
It just got finalized last week, so I haven't got my copy of it.
We also have to be careful with thinking that these horses died because of her neglect. Maybe it was an old horse that was going to die anyhow. We don't know any of that.
Well,
you know, we assume the worst, and we shouldn't do that.
Well, I was there, and I assumed the worst because
I'm sorry you had to see.
It was disturbing.
There was an article in the Register Guard since she's been sentenced, Scott. I can give it to you. And does mention the 61 horses.
Yeah.
Who is our co-chair?
You do not have a co-chair at this point.
I was going to bring that up for later on.
Yeah, but I had that as a note to myself. Okay. It is time to...
Can I deputize someone for 2 minutes to be the chair, work on the agenda?
Sure.
I got a family thing here. Would you do that, Dave?
Sure.
So we were at... the code.
The code, so...
I think someone has a...
Excuse me.
Regarding the horses, it'd be interesting if at some point there could be some elaboration on how this woman is allowed to still have horses.
Well,
I've heard a lot of people very upset
about
that. And I've also heard that there is some kind of reasoning in the legal system. I think people need to be educated about that.
Yeah, we don't have, once we hand it over, we don't have any involvement. There's a special assistant DA from Bent County who covers the entire state. It's funded by the Humane Society, the position. And he handles animal neglect and abuse cases statewide. Usually he provides advice. Because of this was such a big case, he actually took the case himself. He's Jake Kamens out of Benton County. And I only know anecdotally what I hear in the news of why that he said that if we hadn't gotten this deal, she may have been able to have more horses. So I don't know what the reason.
Sense.
It doesn't make sense to me, but I don't. It's you know the legal system.
I don't know if this applies, but have you ever read the hoarding study from Tufts University?
No.
I should send it to you. It'll give you a lot of information about the different kinds of hoarding and why, why it's hard to keep the animals away from them and so forth. It's a pretty extensive study and pretty interesting reading. I'll send it to you.
Send that to me too, please?
Pardon?
Would you send that to me also?
It was Dr. Gary Petronik, who I've met and talked to about it. A really interesting fellow from Tufts. I'll send it to you.
Anything further then? Now we go to Green Hill Activity.
So the previous conversation brings up a question that I had that may just be directed when we renew our contract, but I'm wondering if when an individual gets charged with animal neglect or abuse, if there's, since we don't have a state registry, there's no national registry, if there's a way that we could perhaps talk about sharing that information in a more efficient manner. Because I do think it would be valuable to us, not in particular with the horses but just in general.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So Green Hill Activity is busy. I did an analysis based on the first, the end of January, so the first 7 months of the fiscal year compared to the previous fiscal year, and our activity is up 22% for Lane County animals. And we
What is up 22%?
Intake of animals from Lane County jurisdiction. This fiscal year, so July 1st, 2019 through the end of January 2020, as compared to the previous fiscal year. I did not compare it to the year before that because that included the 111 chihuahuas. So that threw all of our data off the charts.
And this doesn't include the Vanita cats?
It does not include the Vanita cats, correct. We are bringing those into the system as a service in, service out, but they're not actually a shelter intake since it's a separate program that we have. Green Hill is also part of this discussions that have been reinvigorated in terms of the Lane County Animals in Disaster. We held the first meeting at Green Hill in January with Dr. Kathy Snell and Dr. Mary Whitlock, a representative from Lane County's Emergency Preparedness Department.
Emergency Management.
And the next, and we plan to have meetings once a month moving forward, so we'll be revisiting the initial plan that was drafted after Hurricane Katrina that included care and sheltering of animals in disaster situations. It's been a kind of a ragtag group for the last handful of years. The most recent time we were deployed was Cottage Grove, right around this time last year for the snowstorm. But we understand that there's a responsibility and a community need for a better, more up-to-date plan, as well as a stronger resource of volunteers, trained volunteers. So we're working hard on getting that back into shape.
And what else?
I would say that's it for today.
Do you anticipate building a horse rescue or whatever?
I sure hope so. I'm not officially going on the record as stating that that's in our future, but there are discussions certainly that once we complete the medical clinic, construction should be complete on the interior of the medical clinic within the next month or so. And then we'll work on completely outfitting it. That will be in place in an effort to better respond to emergencies that Lane County officers may have. Members of the public may bring us an animal who's been hit by a car or whatnot. And so we're working on initially being better able to respond to this.
You know, the old LCAS at one point, that barn that was used for storage, apparently they used it for a horse every now and then. And we had hoped when we had the full contract to do that. And, have you talked to Faye Stewart?
I have not talked to Faye Stewart.
Well, Faye's former county commissioner from East Lane. He lives in Cottage Grove, and it's a famous Cottage Grove family. They used to own Bohemia Lumber, which Weyerhaeuser bought. And he, I believe, is the, in addition to his being head of Public Works or something,
Public Works and
up there. He quit as county commissioner thing. He is the executive director, or he has been, of the Faye and Lucille Stewart Foundation. And he came here, was it 2 years ago, and he wanted to brainstorm and somehow work with, what's that state of Oregon small department that comes and gives us advice with no money about how to do stuff? You remember? Remember that?
I remember hearing about PSAs. And
well, there's a state of Oregon, some kind of liaison with governments as to how to raise money or where to raise money from. But Faye was really interested in that.
Yes, he was.
And he lives in rural Lane County, and if you contacted him, you might want to have a meeting with him. And that is tax deductible, and they have resources. And he seemed to be serious about it.
Thank you. That's great to hear. We know there's a need not just for horses, but for the other species of animals that are brought in. There was a 100-pound pig that we cared for over Christmas time. There's goats and chickens and all sorts of animals that need shelter outside of our traditional dog housing and cat housing facility. So we are looking at we are looking at that in the future, certainly.
Well, what would you call it, a horse rescue barn or facility or with a little bit of a...
Probably just a livestock, because you have...
Yeah, I think it would just be an expansion of our current sheltering.
We had a neighbor lady that died, and she had 3 pot-bellied pigs and 4 or 5 dogs and stuff. She had a big heart. She even had a tame turkey. And Eunice. And which wandered the neighborhood. You could pet this thing. It was pretty crazy. And, you know, when she died, it was like all of a sudden, here's family that doesn't live nearby, and here's these animals, and nobody knows what happens to them. The animals are gone, but nobody in the neighborhood knows where they went. I mean, they're just, even the turkey, she's gone too. So
it doesn't sound...
Yeah, it's kind of one of those scary things. It's like,
those pigs are beautiful pets.
Yeah,
I agree that it's needed. Right now we're doing what we can. When an other species comes in, we're certainly making do, but the goal would be to have a more formalized area. I think it should be noted that we did talk to our construction company, Mackenzie Commercial, prior to vacating the First Avenue site. We had professionals come over and assess what would it take to dismantle this barn and reassemble it on the property, and they had determined, based on the age of the barn and the structural integrity, that it would have cost more to dismantle it and reassemble it than to build a new one. But we did research that prior to vacating because we knew that it was a valuable resource to us while we were on site.
Maybe Habitat for Humanity could expand that. Maybe.
Yeah, that's great feedback. I appreciate it. I'll look into the Stewart.
Habitat. They might... But particularly when it involves a person who dies. Yeah. There's a thing in California, an act called the SIDO, S-I-D-O Act. And they created a statewide fund or some funding source for animals that were abandoned after the death of their owner. Or somehow they worked with people to put in their will. Maybe that's what it is. You've heard of
that? Because they're considered personal property, animals, so they have to be handled as property, not like we would handle, like if they left their kids or something. So I think it is more...
But now, there was a public thing there that they were looking after the welfare of the animal after someone had died. I don't know whether they provided for them or...
Well, it's not uncommon for you to get reports and people turn in animals or tell us, like, this person died, they had all these animals, we don't know what's happened to them, and then we'll go and check it out.
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts on that. Green Hill has a program called Securing Your Pet's Future, and so we're actively trying to educate members of the public that should they, prior to getting sick, or hopefully prior to death, that they're making some sort of a plan for that. It's at no cost to people, and they can enroll their animals. Sometimes they leave us in their will or there's a pet trust set up, but that's not a requirement to participate in this program. And it enables us to have a working document of animals and households, their veterinarians, access to medical records, any updates if the animal passes or a new animal joins the family. We're in contact with the individual or the family at least once a year. And so we have a growing number of people that have enrolled in this program that have a plan. They have a letter by their bedside table and something in their wallet that designates, should something happen to me, this is where my animals go. And then we're able to bring them into the shelter in a much more smooth system rather than sometimes what happens, such as a first responder finds them and says, okay, now what?
Is that something they can easily see on your website when they load right up onto it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's under programs and services, I believe.
That would be an interesting story for the guard to cover.
I agree, yeah.
Informative.
Yeah.
Do you have a PR person?
Pardon me?
Do you have a PR?
We do.
I think
I'll pitch it.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
There's also a local organization called Hospice Pet Advocates that specifically works with people and animals that are in transition. We're often the last place for those animals once somebody has passed or they've determined that they can no longer care for those animals as well. So there's a network in the community, but it could certainly strengthen.
Thank you. And now the stuff you've done, is that finished?
Construction?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep, we're putting the finishing touches on our east side catios this week. So the external enclosed areas for cats to safely go outside and inside from the main cat adoption floor. The dog adoption building and the dog care building are complete. The dog exercise yards outside are complete. The medical clinic exterior shell is complete. We're working just on finalizing the interior.
Do you have all the technological medical equipment you need?
Not yet.
What do you need? We already went into, was that the x-ray thing or something?
Yeah, yeah. So we still have not secured a dental x-ray machine or a digital x-ray machine. We have a working medical clinic right now. It's about 400 square feet, and so we're utilizing a lot of those materials and just being able to expand the space, and we'll slowly begin to build our capabilities for more emergency care. And I think that the two x-rays are the primary needs right
dental
now.
Dental and
full digital body.
Yeah. Do you have a wish list on your website?
Yes, we do.
And are those on there?
They should be. I'll double check, yeah.
Good, thank you. Good job, as
thank
usual.
You.
Wait a second, I just want to be a little clear here. What is the actual status of your long range or intermediate range desire for a livestock horse building and pasture or whatever?
I should get back to you on that.
Okay.
I know it is a priority for us. I don't know at this time, top of the priority list or middle. I know it has been discussed, but I can get back to you on that.
I found that horse thing so disturbing to read. I know that she was motivated. How many of the people who were customers there, I mean, how many of those horses were patron-owned?
Most of them.
Most of them?
We didn't know. See, we went in there kind of blind because we didn't want to tip our hand before we went in. And we were assumed that most of them were probably hers, and it turns out they weren't. Most of them were boarded.
Were they paying for boarding
yeah.
fees? Did they ever come and inspect?
Well, that's the part that we never really, I mean, the investigation may have uncovered that. But
dead animals with legs going
yeah.
up and,
it's,
come
it's,
on.
Having been on that site, there was no way, even if you went just into the front gate, you wouldn't have been alarmed by what you saw. So that's what I don't understand, how people could board their horses.
Could the owners be penalized for neglect by complicity or accomplices?
I don't know. I don't think that any other charges are pending except for the two, three people that were the aunts that were living on the property in a trailer. And they still have an open criminal case against them.
Well,
when I was younger, I had a fair amount of horses, and I boarded and been somebody who allowed people to board on my place at different times. And there's two ways to do it. You board them where you're just renting a stall or a space, mm-hmm. whatever, and you're they are responsible for feeding and all the upkeep.
Yeah.
And the other end of it is you take, as a person that owns the property, you take care of everything, and you have an agreement to that effect.
Yeah.
So
they were supposed to be providing, I think they did it both, they had both models at
yeah,
that place.
Yeah, and that's tricky.
And then when we went there was nowhere near enough hay on the property to support the number of animals that was there.
Were they just not allocating the money correctly, or?
I don't know.
So I have a question about that. So, large number of people boarding their horses. Were you able to talk to any of these people that were boarding? Just
the investigators from Humane Society and the DA's office talked to them.
Okay.
They didn't come out of the woodwork until after we confiscated all the animals. And there's quite a bit in the press about, you took our animals and there was nothing wrong with them, and what kind of sham is this? And there's still a lot of that going on. We had two vets there, so from Del Oeste, and she said, well, the vet said that while there may be some horses that are right this second in okay shape, if they stay in these conditions, they will be in bad shape soon. So that's why we took as many as we did.
So it just makes you wonder, how often did the owners have any interaction with their animals?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you put your children in some prime, you know, kindergarten or whatever, and they were abused or whatever, I can't draw the analogy correctly, but, or a foster situation, and you didn't check out what was happening, you should be liable as well. Are you sure they're not several, it's not several liability?
Now, as far as I know, I don't know if there is possibly that type of liability. I know that the only other people who are being charged are other people that lived on the property.
Because that's still a thought came to me, like, why wouldn't people have checked routinely to see their horses unless, were some of them absent?
Like, yeah, some of them were out of state borders.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
David, does the AKC have any recommendations for people, like, prior to boarding their dogs, such as go and visit, or these are the things that you should check?
There are probably things online that we could access, but not that I'm familiar with. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff online, but I can't say.
You can almost dig forever on the AKC website.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's a tough website to navigate.
Okay.
So the one thing we did initiate this discussion of the horse thing was when Bernie was quoted as saying, you know, she was just under the radar, and the implication was I couldn't do anything. My hands were tied
right. Because
she met the minimum.
Well, she actually, when we first had contact a year ago, they weren't in compliance, and then she brought them up to compliance and met the minimum standards. So that's, we closed that case, and then when Emerald Valley Equine Rescue provided us with pictures, that's when we started looking into it again.
You know, I would have to say probably a visit in that intermediate time would have been useful.
Oh, yeah. I would like to visit lots of places all over Lane County, both 1.5 FTE. My animal control officers are working active abuse and neglect cases all the time. So to just go out and check on things for someone that's come into compliance, it's difficult.
But if they came into compliance kicking and screaming from a dangerous situation, perhaps one visit in a year.
Well, she's going to get lots of visits now.
But what we're talking about is whether or not the board should elevate somewhat the
minimum care standards.
Yeah, the authority of the animal services staff or whatever to enforce.
We'll take a look at that. I imagine off the top of my head that our minimum care standards are directly taken from the state, from the ORS. And that's probably where they...
But if you ask Bernie, is there any other language in the code that you could benefit from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mike, would this be an appropriate time to think about adding more to your staff?
Well, we're trying. Right, it's budget season right now, so we're working up a proposal to change Elise's halftime position into a full-time position. So that would give us 2 full-time animal control officers.
Would we have any say in that impact?
Yes, if you would write the commissioners and the budget committee, which is half commissioners and half citizens. So in support of that, that would be helpful.
You're talking about as individuals or as the committee?
It's up to you.
I think we discussed that last meeting, and we thought about writing the budget committee through Scott, who has ins on the budget committee, and maybe a little more push than we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that might help.
Sure. On behalf of the committee.
On behalf of
I could just send a draft to you, and you could send
it
on behalf of the committee. Yeah, I don't want to. Okay.
And didn't this have to be done before March?
Our portion of it has to be done before March, but the committee doesn't actually meet and vote on it until May.
So when would this letter recommendation have to get to you?
Probably in April. Would be,
oh, okay. Yeah.
The other thing is, having been on that committee for 16 years, off and on, when people show up...
They listen.
And when they talk, if you and Dave and any of you came and said, look, you know, this is, we have a county the size of the entire state of Connecticut. The West Lane District is the size of Rhode Island. Right now, we, you know, it's like swatting a vulture with a feather or something like that. That's animal cruelty, but whatever.
Pluck the feather from it.
I need a feather.
I have a suggestion, Scott. If you could take the lead on that and keep us informed on maybe when to...
We'll get you the dates of when the budget committee meets and when we would need to present a letter.
And anyone has the right to speak.
Absolutely. We'll get you the dates and times.
And
it's a public forum. It's
where do you live?
Cresswell.
This is perfect because your county commissioner, Heather Buck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dave, she's your commissioner too?
No, I'm in Springfield.
You're Springfield. So that's Joe, Bernie, right?
And I'm right on the line. I'm not sure who I am right now. I thought I was Bozovich, and then I thought I was Faze for a while, and so who knows? It's right on the line. I'd have to look how they redistrict things.
What's good is my name is so-and-so, and we live in Commissioner so-and-so's district, and I...
Well, we could go as committee members from this committee.
Right, but they kind of look upon... That's good. But also in your own right, you can say, I happen to be on this committee, but we reside in Commissioner Calderwood's district. Because that basically says, hey, I'm one of your people now. Listen, you know? So I think both of them are useful. Really, it really helps. Especially if you have, and if you explain, you know, by talking to Betty and Mike here, that what they can't do because of the understaffing, what they'd like to be able to do, what they're not able to do, and why that justifies the enhancement to a full FTE.
Well, if you could let us know when to go to the meeting, I'll be
we'll get the information to you.
They will.
Yeah,
and
we'll get it to you this week.
I'll draft something, and then we'll...
Mike, from a negotiation standpoint, would it be better if we asked for more than her going on full-time?
No.
Okay.
No, we want to ask for exactly what we want.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know and other things, that's good. You ask for twice as much and hope to get half of it.
Yeah,
but this, we want to ask for exactly what we want. And last year we got a halftime position. She's, you know, she was only approved last
year. Is that a fully loaded position?
No. She's benefited, we found.
Right.
She doesn't get benefits right now.
Well, that's qualified.
Other than PERS. She gets PERS, but she's not getting medical or anything like that. So this would cost us, what did we figure, another $54,000 a year to make her full time.
In salary and benefits.
And benefits. Salary and benefits.
So should we be asking for a dollar amount?
No.
No, just support the recommendation to move this from a half-time position to a full-time position.
And could you give us some talking points that would be, you know, critical items to bring up?
Yeah, we thought now is a good time to do it because of the Cresswell horse thing and then some other things that we got some really good press on, so...
Obviously, if there had been more resources, maybe some of those animals' lives could have been saved. So, on that happy note, Lane County Animal Services activity. Thank you, sir.
In glancing at this, I didn't see anything that...
Leaps
out of the ordinary or warrants discussion unless the committee would like to make a discussion.
I do have a question. On the last page, table three, top left, no rabies license / review. What does that quality mean?
What these tables are is strictly about the animal welfare officers themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just about Bernie and Elise. So, to me, no license or reason. Let me see if there's a
number, maybe.
Yeah, it might be number.
So it could be that it's something that they didn't have any follow-up on regarding a license renewal. We usually handle rabies license renewals through our administrative staff.
Well, this is on a citation page. Does that mean there were...
Yeah, so that means there weren't any for them to follow up on.
For no licenses?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see that. I'd like to see that in paper.
in a nutshell, what are the, how do the licenses to date versus last year stack up?
That's something I'd have to bring back this time. Like I said, the stats here are only about our animal welfare officers and not stats about number of licenses sold. And I mean, we have that information available to us.
And we're working on, we have a new program that we're using countywide called Tableau, which is, it gives you a dashboard to look at all kinds of information. And these stats we're trying to put, we'll put into a better format for us to use with graphs.
More visually understandable.
Right. And we'll have, so you'll be able to see trend, so we can do trend analysis and things like that. So we're working on that.
I mean, with the population increasing, should be a commensurate increase in canine licensure. Mm-hmm. And also, we used to do this, where you would do a monthly, and maybe you do here, a monthly snapshot of each veterinary office. How many rabies vaccinations?
And that's usually
how many licenses?
We get the, so if you take your dog, because I just took my puppy, to get rabies vaccination, then the vet will send that record here to Animal Services, and then they send me a letter, which I got yesterday, or today, last week, saying, it's, hey, you got your rabies, good job, now license your dog.
So, you know, I live in Eugene, and I got one from Texas. In our report in 2003, we laid out in funding.
They do it.
We put it way down as the last option, thinking the best was the human, and from LCAS, well, wouldn't you know, the city chose the cheapest one.
They have a contractor.
With pet data.
Pet data.
And we were totally aware of them. But what Dr. Penfold says, a lot of vets aren't selling licenses now.
Yeah.
And that's outrageous. I mean, there ought to be some way they can share the fee or something. They want absolute control of this.
Take it up with Eugene
City. I mean, the city basically parted out everything but a few people in the police department.
Right.
And take it up with Eugene City Council.
We still, our administrative staff still does this ourselves in-house.
Right.
So if you've got an issue, which I get all the time, someone's, we sent a letter out saying, hey, your dog is out of compliance, and they write back, the dog's dead, or we moved, or I gave it away. Then our administrative staff gives it to me, and I approve it being closed out. So we handle it in-house, which is much more responsive to people's needs. Like, for example, today, or yesterday, on a Sunday, I got an email from a woman saying, I paid for my license in January, but I haven't got it yet. What happened? So we tracked that down and got her another license. Apparently didn't make it to her or something. So it's a lot better.
Do you communicate with the City of Eugene licensing? Well, there isn't. It's Texas. Or
yeah,
is there some bureaucrat in the city that...
No, we work closely with Springfield and Eugene on with their animal control. We all know each other. We've all worked these cases before. And we have a good working relationship with them. But they're still not... They don't have the in-house licensing like we do.
Does anyone have any other ideas or questions? Okay. What is the likely status of the City of Eugene spay and neuter facility?
I don't know what their plans are for that, other than I've been trying to get us out from underneath that property. So if they want it, they can buy us out. But we don't want the property anymore, and as far as I know, Springfield doesn't, because it's Eugene, Springfield, and the county own it. We don't have any use for it. It's an aging property. As you know, the facility is not that great. I want it to be, and it's in a valuable part of town. It's zoned industrial. I think we need to get rid of the properties, but we're looking at the attorney level now. They're trying to figure out the percentage of each.
Springfield hardly did anything in the last 60
years. I think they were only like 12% or something.
Oh, is that what it was?
I don't want to.
I think
say
that's
that.
Really,
I think it was low.
Really important to know that.
Yeah, but we got lawyers working on that to try to determine, unravel the ownership.
Aside from the pecuniary aspect of it, though, they have rendered a service, and some of the bureaucrats in the city tried to get rid of it about 15 years ago, you remember that? All hell broke loose. No, they did. And the city council stopped it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, have you heard any plans to change? They're still going to do it. They may move to a different location or something, but there's no plans that I know of to stop the service.
But I don't, what I mean is, since we are partners, we should not force them out before find a place.
No, we wouldn't do that. We're trying to, they don't need that whole big space anyway. That's a big piece of property, because that property goes way behind the building.
What's it appraised at?
$980,000, right around, almost $1 million.
Okay. Yeah. And would that go to the general fund, or where would that
Unfortunately,
go?
Yeah.
Well,
because the horse case, the lady's being fined $50,000. $10,000 comes to Lane County, but it doesn't come to us. It goes back into the general fund.
The lady in Crestwell?
Yeah. She's got $50,000 in fines.
Does she have the wherewithal to pay that?
She doesn't, but she has a rich benefactor who's been supporting her and paying for her lawyer and that kind of stuff.
Very good. Items for next month's agenda. Does anyone here have any pressing thing you'd like us to deal with?
I just have a question.
Yes.
Look, for somebody that commits crimes against animals, is there a whether it be dogs, cats, horses, cows, pigs, or whatever, is there a website or something so somebody that was potentially thinking about buying a horse or something like that, is there there's no registry of these people? So they can just go around and do more stuff wrong?
Well, I mean, she can't. I mean, she could, but we're, if they remain in the jurisdiction, their parole conditions are that, you know, we're going to keep following up on them. But we were fully expecting, and she may still, we were expecting her to move back to California already. So that's what she did before. When
so
they tried
people could just, anybody, Green Hill or anybody, nobody in the public or anything knows anything about these people who committed crimes against animals. Well, we need to fix that. There needs to be some sort of registration or something.
Yeah, the animal cruelty, neglect and abuse laws are very, very lenient. And that's why she ended up being convicted of 11 misdemeanors. No, she was originally charged with felonies, but...
But what?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to the DA. We weren't party to those conversations once.
So it's not really registered as a crime then?
No, it is. It's been a judgment entered. And 11 misdemeanors, and that's why we have her, the conditions of her parole, which I haven't seen yet. I've only gotten secondhand information, which allows us, she has to send us pictures of all the animals on her property, any type of animal, koi, parakeets, whatever, every month, and then we're also allowed to go inspect her property unannounced and have access to the entire property. Mm-hmm. And that's, they said us or the sheriff or the Humane Society. Well, it's not going to be the sheriff or the Humane Society, so it's going to be Lane County Animal Services that does it.
But there's no permanent list for the John Pugh public to go take a look at.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. You want to be careful of that. You don't know who's going.
Okay, for next month, do you have any ideas?
We need to discuss a co-chair. If you're not here, there's going to be...
Sure, I thought... What happened to Jan? Is she gone? Or is she still a member?
No,
she's not. She resigned her... committee membership.
How many vacancies, if any, do we have now?
You have none now.
None. We're full.
Okay. We put that on the agenda for next time, then. So, but we're going to talk about a letter to the board regarding FTE enhancement for the animal services. What do you call it?
Animal control officer.
Animal control. Possible need for upgrade in the code relating to compliance standards for
minimum care
of horses and cattle and domestic animals, or whatever however you want to describe it. You're going to talk to us about license revenue to date of this year versus last fiscal year and numbers, right?
Yeah, and we're going to just change our report so we'll have it current and then same time period last year, so you can get something to compare it to.
Well, that's good. And
until we get our new Tableau system and charts.
We had a staff member, you know, when LCAS was fully integrated with the city, where we had a liaison with all the vet offices. And does anyone track the degree to which veterinarian offices forward to the county?
Yeah, so when we have an issues, our administrative staff calls Betty, and Betty calls the vets.
it's rare.
I mean, if you're not getting, if Westmoreland Animal Hospital gives you two rabies certificates, that's nonsense.
And then we just removed a vet also from the licensing, right? Didn't we?
Right.
Was that Coburn?
I don't remember who it
was. One vet wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, so we took them out of the program.
Well, what do you mean?
So they don't.
Oh, in terms of selling
licenses,
right.
Yeah.
Is that same vet forwarding due diligence, forwarding rabies certificates?
That might have been the problem to begin with, wasn't it?
No, that was a different issue. Most of our vets are very good about forwarding.
Well, if that vet
the rabies information.
Yeah.
But if that vet is not transmitting rabies.
No, we can contact them if we're not getting it. We get it from them every month.
Right.
And we contact them if we don't get the rabies vaccination information.
Yeah, that's a.
We had a couple, when we first took over, we had one of the Eugene vets wasn't cooperating because it was more.
Busy work.
They wanted people in South Eugene wanted privacy and didn't want to, but we worked that out.
We dealt with it. Yeah. All right. We've discussed next month's agenda. Now for the next half hour, are we ready to adjourn? Is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second? Motion to adjourn and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you.